Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there. Welcome. New Life Live. Glad you're with us today. We've got calls lined up. No need to even try to call us here at 1-800-229-3000. Just go directly to 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Joining me today, Dr. Alice Benton, Dr. Sherry Keffer. Hi, guys.
Hey. Hey, it's great to be with you both today.
It sure is.
Well, glad to be with you, too. So why don't we do this? Let's don't chit-chat.
Let's
I want to
go
get
to
every one of these calls we can possibly get to, and let's talk with Vanessa right here on Sirius XM, calling from Hartford, Connecticut. Hi, Vanessa. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing pretty good. Thank you for taking my call.
Certainly. What's going on in your life today?
Okay, well, I am 34 years old. I've been married for 16 years, so I got married really young. I was 18 when I got married.
Okay.
But at 14, I got diagnosed with polycystic ovarian syndrome. And at that age,
What is that?
Polycystic ovarian syndrome is like when your cysts produce like, your ovaries produce like little cysts.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of hard for an egg to go down to be fertilized.
Okay. All right.
So when I was 14, the doctor told me you may never be a mother. So that was like a pretty big blow that, you know, has marked my life for a long time.
So sorry.
And I love my husband and everything. But when the task comes to try to be intimate, I don't want to. I don't know why I'm crying right now.
Okay. Now, let me ask you a quick question here. Have you ever sought any kind of help?
Yeah, we've been to multiple doctors, and they find that aside from the polycystic ovarian syndrome, it's kind of like unexplained infertility. You know,
I'm talking about help for experiencing sexual intimacy with each other. Have you gotten any help? Okay.
No.
All right. Well, Alice, Sherry, we really want to help you, and I'm so glad you called about this. What are you thinking here?
Well, first of all, Vanessa, boy, does it take humility and courage to call in with this issue. I'm so proud of you that you're seeking this help. That's not easy to do. And the pressure and the fear that you must feel, the worry, the concern over intimacy with your husband, and probably on so many different levels of wanting a baby. Is this going to work? Is this ever going to work? But then also the perhaps the disconnect or the tension between you and your husband, and maybe even the disappointment that we still haven't been able to conceive, if that's accurate.
Yeah.
How are you and your husband doing with all of this? How's your emotional intimacy about what you two are going through?
I mean, we love each other immensely, but we've tried so hard to have a baby that sometimes being intimate becomes sort of like a task and not like a loving thing, you know. And I've kind of distanced myself from being intimate because I feel guilty when I say, you know, I'm ovulating this week. And I don't want to feel like I'm using my husband, you know, as that, you know, just like for his sperm.
Sure.
And I hate saying that. But
for
a while it became that. And now that I've kind of scratched that off the list of trying for a baby, just being intimate is like, it's not that I don't want to. It's
no, I. It's head, it's deeper
I'm okay
than that.
Without it,
yeah. It's deeper than that.
It's going to help you.
We're going to help.
Right after this break. Hold on. We'll be back for more New Life Live. Glad you're with us today.
My wife asked me for the first time in 2011 if I would consider myself a sex addict, so I signed up. You know, I'd read the Every Man's Battle book, and it was a great book, but the workshop, it was the experience that really was key for me. If they go to EMB, they're going to be in good hands. You know, this is a safe place. They're going to be surrounded by men that simply walk the talk. The weekend leaders that they will go through this workshop with, they'll help them to get to the root of their issues. You know, I've been through a number of well-preached sermons, listened to and read countless books, been to a number of seminars, but EMB for me was a game changer. It truly saved my life. Being in this community, being in this workshop, being around these men will change them if they'll let them. You're going to encounter men that will meet you where you're at, and then you will instantly walk into a safe place where they're welcome.
If you're struggling, call us. We don't want you to go on struggling. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
All right, we're back. I didn't even know we were back, but here we are. Okay, so we want to help you, Vanessa, and as I was saying to them, I don't, you know, we don't have any medical expertise in the area of infertility. Now I got to tell you this, I went through 7 years of being an infertile couple. I know what that's like. It's horrible. It's horrible. But listen, we adopted Madeline from birth. Madeline is one of the most amazing people in the world. And before I had any biological children, I said frequently, and I meant it with all my heart, oh my goodness, if having my own biological child had prevented me from being Madeline's father, and I believe I was ordained to be her dad from the beginning of time, I would have been so sad to see the movie without me in her life. So there are some options for you for children other than fertility, but I want these women to help you with the intimacy issue.
Okay.
So that gave you hope, didn't it? Yeah, it gave you hope to hear a story about somebody else like Steve who's been through that, and yet he can be a witness and a testimony of this daughter that he loves. And so this is kind of how I see it. And you know, Vanessa, at 14, when those doctors told you, you may never be a mother. Guess what happened that day? No fault of your own. Your heart and brain wired in this belief that I'll never be a mother. And that has been a belief that you've had for so long. What's happening right now is that belief is large and in charge.
Mm-hmm.
It's what's keeping you from being sexually intimate with your husband. It's kind of like a loaded gun. Because if I have sexual intimacy with you, then I will be disappointed if it doesn't work. So why would I have sex with you if it's just going to lead to disappointment? So do you see how it's kind of puts you in a corner?
Yeah.
The truth of it is, what Steve just told you, the truth of it is, it's the opposite. It's what I call 180-degree turnaround.
Mm-hmm.
The opposite is, I can be a mother.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I can. And if you got to a point, my dear, where you did whatever work you needed with a counselor to get to that point that I can be a mother, it might be through our egg and sperm, or it might be, quote-unquote, a Madeline. But if you believe that I can be a mother, it might be easier for you to try, because then you're not staring down this bleak lie.
And, you know, Sherry, just to add to that, there are women who never get married and they're convinced they can never be a mother. Then they get on a mission to be a spiritual mother, and they end up with having the times of their lives, being involved with a youth group or whatever, and life, it just ignites for them. But I am with you on, you hear this, you'll never be a mother thing, and then you live that out. Alice, anything you want to mention here?
Yes. Vanessa, instead of focusing on how do I get comfortable being physically naked with my husband, I want you to think and pray and act on getting comfortable being emotionally naked with your husband. And one of the best ways to do that is through Mylan and Kay's Comfort Circle, where you two can talk with each other, hear each other out without it turning into a blame game, which is so easy with this very tender topic. Mm-hmm. So we want to equip you for that.
So stand the line. We'll get her hooked into a counselor in her area because she's a sweetheart. She just needs a little help here. Right? You're a sweetheart. We want to help you out.
But,
thank you. And, you know, I just have to believe it's kind of a God-ordained thing here that we're talking to you because we have such a different perspective on your situation. And I really believe it's the perspective that leads you out of this dark place, and I think you're going to find some amazing joy and happiness that God wants for you. So you hang on. We're going to give you some help, and we'll get that to you. And then I'm going to send Take Your Life Back. I think it could be a great help to you. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help. Let's go to Deborah, Boston, Massachusetts, W-E-Z-E. Hello, Deborah. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm a little confused, but I'm okay.
What's happening in your life today?
Well, first I should say I'm Catholic. I'm not Christian, but, you know, I know there's a relationship.
We have a lot of folks that are not only listen to us that are Catholic, but support us. We have a lot of supporters that are Catholic. Yeah.
Mm. Well, this is my first time calling.
Welcome.
You've called the right place.
Thank you. There's someone that I'm in love with and have been for 8 years, maybe more, 10.
Uh-huh.
Opposite of the people that have called, I'm kind of solitary. I'm an artist and a poet.
Okay.
And I keep to myself, basically,
mm-hmm.
Unless it's an art show or it's a reading. And I'm in my 50s. And I met someone at a party years ago. And had the thick Irish accent and kind of silly and drunk and but sweet. And I fell, you know, at that moment in time, I immediately fell in love with him. His name's Paul. And it's really hard to be in love with this person. We both have our own stuff going on, as most people do. We have trauma. He has the typical trauma that some people in Ireland went through as kids. And
does he love you?
That they're not too proud of.
Does he love you? Is he loving toward you?
He does love me, but I don't really get to hear it a lot of times unless it's through his friends or he's a little bit tipsy. He will actually come right out and say, you know, I love you. I love you so much.
So what's the question for us then? What's the question for us? What's the question for us then?
The question is it's hard to be with him. He always has men around him. They're kind of like his cronies, you know. It's a very, all of his friends are pretty much Irish from different parts of Ireland. They kind of have this bond. And I feel like a lot of times when we, it's just hard. It's just hard. Very
Now I'm going to ask you to answer a really hard question, okay? You ready? Outside of words that he tells you, what's the evidence that he loves you at all? No words. Just what are the actions that you've seen in his life that say, this man is crazy about me? What are those?
I have epilepsy, and when I'm really sick, he delivers cat food to me. Sometimes he just shows up. Which is kind of strange, and he just wants to hold me.
Okay.
When he went to Ireland to see his mother, he brought me back a very special necklace that is the Matrix.
Okay.
Which is very, expensive. I didn't realize how expensive it was until I looked it up.
Why do you think almost, that...
You know, so I didn't ask him to get it. He just brought it back.
Right. Why do you think after 8 years he hasn't married you if he loves you? Oh, that's not funny.
Let's see. Let's think of the one reason why Irish men do not commit to the women.
No, you know what?
Fear?
We are not,
fear of
we are not talking about Irish men. We are talking
fear
about
of commitment.
A man. Just
fear.
One man. Yeah.
Fear.
All right. Well, I'm going to let our women here who've probably been through a few of these kinds of situations help you out here. What do you guys think?
So Deborah, I'm going to just say something that you haven't said. And the only reason I know this is because it's on the call screen board. It says that he likes to see other women. Can you tell us about that?
In the beginning of the relationship, when before I cut it off physically, and so what we have right now is a platonic relationship. Yes, he was very drunk. He was going out to pubs and meeting up occasionally with other women, and his best friends were actually coming to me and saying, you know, you're a good girl, you better be careful. And I didn't understand
okay.
what they meant. So one of them from a different part of Ireland
totally
said,
see that.
Yeah, he said, you're too good for this.
Yeah.
So you need to stay away from him physically.
And you did.
And so I did.
Good for you. Proud of you.
Mm-hmm.
But you're an artist, and you're also a poet. If I've been sitting here doodling while you've been talking, not because I'm not totally engaged, it's because I'm drawing what you're telling us. I'm drawing.
What are you drawing?
And you know what I drew? I drew a heart, and in the heart, I drew the picture of what you're describing. And I put you on the right side of the heart as a very, very small, tiny dot, like a little circle. And the rest of the heart, what it's filled in with, is alcohol, women. Not really. It's filled with all this other stuff. And I thought, you know what? In a very sad way, that fits your life. Because you said you're solitary. You're not used to taking up space. And in this man's heart, you have a thimble of love in that big heart picture. What is it about you that would stay with someone and give your desire or fantasy or hope to someone who's giving you a thimble full of love?
Well, like I said, we both go to the same Catholic church, and I think in my heart of hearts, there's hope.
Okay, but you know what that is? I'm going to take you right into that. You know what that is, my dear?
Faith?
No, it's another F word. It's fantasy.
Mm.
Denial is what you think and feel minus the facts.
Mm-hmm.
You're in fantasy over him. Mm-hmm. Your priest probably loves you better. I mean, your priest doesn't come and bring you cat food, right? That's very kind.
Yeah, or Matrix from Ireland.
I know, necklace. But you know what you've done? You've written him into a poem.
Mm-hmm.
He's that person that you write about in your fantasy world. When you write or draw, he's not real. He's not really loving you. Yes, he brings you cat food, but that's taking care of you in a sisterly sort of way.
Mm-hmm.
And he would have had sex with you if you didn't cut him off.
Probably.
Yeah. There's an author, Francine Rivers. She wrote a book called Redeeming Love. And she was really small in this story, and she never had been really loved by a man. Because she didn't know if she was worth that. She used to call men she would meet Mr. And then she met a guy by the name of Michael, who changed everything because he did what Steve is bringing up. Steve is saying, how abundant is this man's love? I want you to get that book. I want you to order it today because I know you love to read and write, but you have not learned what it feels like to be loved well, and you're settling for scarcity.
Okay. Alice, anything you want to add here?
Well, Deborah, every time you have laughed, my heart has clenched because I think your laugh is covering up so much pain that maybe has never been safe to feel and really express. So you're willing to accept these crumbs from Paul because maybe he's loving you the best anybody has loved you in your life. And yet you deserve so much more. And we just see the writing on the wall of what will happen if you continue to pursue this relationship. But I think the solution for you will lie, again, as we keep bringing up, in relationships with other women who can come in and love you as God wants you to be loved first before you find that love with a man. Because this is a very shallow love that Paul is showing you, and you deserve, you are worth so much more than that. But it will have to do with that laughter, I think, turning into tears as you tell your story and yeah. You grieve how life has been for you.
Here's what I think. I think that if Paul really loved you, he would say, if you need cat food, I'm your man. But what you really want and what you're hoping for and wishing and the fantasy, I can't do that for you. That'd be a great gift to you if he'd just tell you the truth. And he's not telling you the truth. And we want you to live in the reality of the truth.
God pulled me out of the gutter of my life that I was living in.
I have done a lot of work over the last 40 years. This is the first time I've ever felt love.
I've had such a wonderful weekend here. I'm 2,000 miles from my house, and for the first time in a long time, I've felt at home.
And the Lord has set me free from my mother's story about me not being good enough.
The New Life Finding Freedom Workshop is coming to Orange County May 3rd to the 5th.
We're going
to
talk about forgiveness and codependency. We're going to understand that family of origin, the unhealthy reactions to it. We're going to talk about the cycle of shame and surrender and developing the plan that moves us forward. There'll be 8 teaching sessions and 6 small group sessions.
To register or to learn more about the Finding Freedom Workshop, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
I am living a new life, and I believe that I have the resources and tools to continue that.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Alice Benton and Dr. Sherry Keffer. Intimate Deception is her book. And if you have ever been deceived, betrayed, oh my goodness, this could be one of the most healing experiences ever to have that book. It's like she's lived your life and knows so much that can help you. You can get it at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Right now we're going to go and talk with Catherine. Catherine's calling from Denver, listens on the internet. Hi, Catherine. Welcome to New Life.
Yeah, hi. I'm happy to be here.
Well, thanks for being with us. How can we help?
My story's complicated.
Okay.
I guess my question, can you hear me okay?
Sure.
Hello? Oh,
yes.
We're having
yes,
a blizzard here. That's why I'm asking.
Okay. Oh, wow.
I've been married 38 years, and the marriage started with a date rape 2 times by my husband when we were engaged, and that's a whole story in itself, but what came out a year ago was I asked him if he had problem with masturbation, and he said he did, and I said, oh, well, how long? And he said, well, our whole marriage. coming to find out more about what took place for him before he met me, before he date raped me. He kind of went from woman to woman finding sex. And
what's happening now that makes all that?
What's going on now is that I don't know what the truth is. The trust was broken. My kids have gotten involved. I'm getting help. He's trying to write his disclosure, but...
So he had an affair recently? Is that what happened?
No, he said he never did anything during the marriage but masturbate to fantasy.
Mm-hmm. Which is a betrayal.
And he said that it was only the women that he had been with before me, which I didn't know about before we got married. And
so he's not saying he's looking at currently at porn?
He said he never has in his life.
Hmm.
He said he's looked at Playboy in junior high and he's never looked at porn ever.
So somehow, after 40 years, this is a little confusing to me. And Steve, you're a man, so maybe you can help us out. But it's a little confusing that a man could say, I'm drawing on 40-year-old images. I've never looked at porn. And I'm masturbating to something I looked at in junior high. I mean, guys have these images, but that to me feels like a big stretch. And that would need to be challenged because that doesn't even sound real.
I have challenged it.
Uh-huh.
I've challenged it, and he's stuck to, he said he's telling the truth, and...
Go ahead. Maybe the blizzard, the power.
Man.
Oh, okay. You're cutting in and out, and so I think we're just going to have to address what we know. And really, all we know is that you were date raped, and then you married him, and you've never really had true intimacy because he has been fantasizing about other women that he's been with throughout the relationship, which is just a tragedy. So just given those kinds of facts that we have to work with, I think it's very important that you would demand that he become the man you thought he was going to become. Obviously, you thought he was going to get better or you wouldn't have married him, and demand that he get help. He can't just one day after fantasizing about women that he slept with decide, I'm not going to do that anymore. It's literally impossible.
Well, that's what he's done. And he
but
said...
Now he has to develop the ability to be intimate with his wife. Otherwise, he's just stopped a bad thing. And treatment doesn't just... You don't just stop something when you get treatment. You start the healthy part. You can't just do that on your own. You have to get help.
Well, and just because he's doing a disclosure doesn't mean it's an honest disclosure.
That's true.
I've sat with a lot of situations where it's a disclosure, but it's not all the facts. It's not everything that's happened. Yeah. So it's really...
That's what I believe, too.
Okay.
But what can I do about it?
Well, but it's getting into a right vein, right? We've got the Every Man's Battle Workshop, which is a place that a guy's come. They're filled with shame. They walk through the door. They don't think they're supposed to be there. But in a very short period of time, they're like, this is exactly where I need to be, because they start getting honest with themselves about what about the shame and the struggle and everything they're hiding. Their greatest fear is if they bring it out and it becomes, you know, they start telling you what's been happening, that we'll leave. That's their greatest fear.
Yeah.
And so they've got to break past that with other men that know what it feels
like. He knows that, and I've been encouraging him this whole last year. I've got your book. I've got, you know, two bookshelves full of books. I gave him
Let me say this. It feels to me like you guys are trying to do-it-yourself, come to truth-telling. That's what it feels like to me. And I go, y'all need to be working with the team of people.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be reaching out to help. There's a lot of people that try...
Well, I am.
Okay,
I'm going to groups and I'm going to a therapist.
Perfect.
I'm doing as much as I can do.
Alice and I both know this from working with clients where there's deception involved. The husband's going to a therapist. And we have a signed release. I have a signed release to talk to his husband. She has a signed release to talk to me. I mean, we communicate back and forth. There is a whole team, right? So when they come back from every man's battle, they go into a team and start working this out where everybody's talking. There's no secrets, because secrets bring cray-cray. And so cray-cray needs to stop, right?
Yeah.
And it stops with honesty.
And sometimes that takes a polygraph test.
Sometimes it does.
That level of scrutiny to help us get there.
We'll be back.
On Friday night, we got into an argument, and I sit in the car outside for 2 hours. I knew what the right thing to do was to go.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C. June 28th to the 30th.
You know, I know this stuff, but it's so hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
I hear it, I read it, and I'm always getting in my own way. I'm always expecting my wife to go first.
Join Steve Arterburn.
We believe that everybody has room to grow in the intimacy level of their life.
And Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship. And then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
And New Life's group leaders will help you focus on the area that will benefit your marriage most. To register to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com.
My biggest takeaway was to just get out of my way and go first.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year, after every man's battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Glad you're with us. And, you know, I just want to finish a little bit here with Catherine, and that is that, you know, you've presented kind of a hopeless situation, but I believe your kids are worth listening to, and I think you should definitely continue with what you're doing, but the reality is you need a team, and he needs treatment.
Yeah, thanks, Steve.
That's the bottom line, and I hope and pray, and we'll send Intimate Deception to you, because this is such a sad situation, and you really don't know whether or not you can believe anything that he says yet. So, very sad.
Steve, for women that are in these date rape situations, it can be so hard to reveal that happened, because there can be shame, embarrassment, and a feeling of the only way I can fix this is to get married and quick move past it.
Yeah.
So I want to invite Catherine to look deeper into that and to work through that part of her history, because I think it still is hanging over you, Catherine, and weighing on you.
Yeah, I think so too. So we'll send her the book. I hope that we can also talk with her about some of the help that's available through a team of people that truly care. All right, I want to talk with Darlene. Hampton, Virginia, listens on Sirius XM. Hi, Darlene, how are you?
Hi, I'm okay.
Okay, good.
On January the 31st, I was diagnosed with ALS.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Obviously, it's been a shock, but mm-hmm. I can't seem to wrap my brain around why this is happening to me, or should I be thinking that way?
Mm-hmm.
I wondered if you could help me with that, or if there's a book I could read, or the ALS sure. Association has been wonderful, and they have counselors and things, but I just mm-hmm. wondered, from a Christian perspective, How can I think about it?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a tough thing when there's something in our lives that isn't fixable, that it's a reality that is just going to be there and nothing that we do is going to change that. I do have a book. It's called Healing is a Choice. It will help. But here's the thing. I'm just wondering if you've done any kind of painful grieving over this and of what you've lost. And has anybody helped you do that in a healthy way?
No, not really. Yeah. I feel like I haven't really. I mean,
yeah.
The initial doctor diagnosis, you know, I got upset, but I don't feel like I've really grieved about it.
Well, it is similar to a death, but it's more complicated than a death, and so it requires its own type of grief here. Alice, what are you thinking as you've dealt with these kinds of realities that creep up on us and, oh my goodness, and affects everything, affects the way we believe in God and how we treat other people and what we expect out of life?
Darlene, I have worked with quite a number of people who have dealt with very significant chronic illnesses that really affect your way of life, how much you're able to do, and even how you feel on a daily basis. And this might sound strange, but such an important part of it is having permission to be so upset and to acknowledge that this is unfair, that this is happening to you, and where is God while this is happening? Why hasn't He given you a miraculous cure? Why doesn't He alleviate your symptoms? And it's okay and it's good and right to get upset and to be direct with God and other people about how you're feeling. I think especially if you have been a faithful believer your whole life, if you've tried to do things right, you've tried to live well, it can be so confusing and discombobulating that God would allow this to happen. And we have a God who invites our pain, our discomfort, even our anger at Him. And He wants to hear that from you.
Okay. That's helpful. I had not thought of it that way before.
It's just for her to give you permission. It's so funny you say the phrase, "Where is God?" Because it makes me think about a chapter that I wrote based on that, because I too had a huge loss, and it looks different than your loss. My loss was a marriage and never having a baby because of an addiction. But I had a chapter that I wrote called "Where is God?" And it's like I had this picture of God and a picture of what my life would look like, almost like a patchwork quilt. And when everything broke through, when that wasn't what was true anymore, it's like I felt like somebody just shot a cannonball through that quilt. And I had to, I've had to sew in some different fabric. I've had to fill in this gap, this hole, because it really, my flannel graphs didn't fit anymore, but my idea of God didn't fit anymore. Because I was hurt and angry, and why didn't you protect me if you love me, right? But going to the places that Alice said, feeling your feelings and sitting with people that love you and can hold space for that is a big part of how we deal with this life-changing disappointment when you can't go back. You can't change what's happening to you.
The other thing that happens when you start to deal with it this way, you stop blaming God, and then you look at, well, what does God say about this? And of course, God says that He's going to wipe away every tear. You know, if we were still in the garden, this would have never happened, but Adam and Eve, they didn't do too well there. And so you have this reality to deal with. Also, you know, it's important that God has not given up on you, and that once you adjust and embrace this, this can become part of a new life mission. Other people have this, and they're going to need you to show them how you dealt with it and got through it, and life has a new purpose. One of my friends Johnny, Erickson, Tana. I mean, she quadriplegic, but she embraced that reality and now is an inspiration to so many other people who have no control over anything. She can't use arms, legs at all, but she's done something with it. Now, it's early, too early for you to be thinking, well, what's my mission? But it's not too early to be saying, how do I let go of the life I thought I was going to have so I can embrace the one that I have? And the answer is this painful gift that God gives us called grieving. And when you do it, you will be able to be free from those expectations that just simply will never come true. But so much more can. Now, let me send you Healing is a Choice. I think you're going to like what's there about it, grieving and embracing and developing a life really that you never dreamed that you could have. I want to talk to Amir from Neptune, New Jersey. Amir, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Doing okay. What's going on in your life today?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, sure can.
Yeah, I'm fine. How are you?
Good. How could we help?
Yes, my question today was on, it was how to walk in the millennial age, but I come to realize the realization of the question. How to keep faith in Christ after devastation? That's my real question, after hurt and pain.
What happened? What happened to you that was so devastating?
First I felt like maybe it's just like a new age type thing. Maybe it's a millennial thing. Because I see a lot of my peers face some of the same things.
Uh-huh.
See, I'm 24 years old. I'm married. I have two children.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been walking with the Lord for going on 6 years now.
Great.
But I've been, you know, trying to get it right with the Lord. Let's say the first about 4 years into my Christian walk, I became a youth leader and, you know, things like
okay.
that. And really got fully into church.
So what's the question for us then today?
My thing is, all right, I said my wife now, because I can't really explain the question without getting, you know, into it, whatever. My wife now, we started out when we were young teenagers, and she got pregnant with my daughter when we was young. She was 17, I was 18, and we got married at 19 or whatever. She was always into church. She was Christian. That's how she grew up, into church. That's what actually got me into the church.
Are you guys close now, or has she drifted apart?
She drifted apart. Yeah,
sorry.
So sad. We attend church,
yeah.
We go and stuff, but it's like the spiritual connection is lost. It's like, not really.
All right, I've got to go to a break. You hold on. We'll be back.
We need to talk. She's asked me for the first time if I would consider myself a sex addict. You know, I thought it was just about admitting the things that I had done wrong. I never had a clue that it was about redeeming our story. You know, I thought it was just about coming clean on what I had done. I had no idea how to help her with her pain. She was a mess, I was a mess, and we got divorced. Going to EMB, surrounding myself with these other men, they accepted me for who I was and what I had done, but they challenged me to step up and do better. You know, they'll be around other men who are not just pointing the finger, but willing to get in and wade through it with them, you know, get in the trenches. They'll get hope from this workshop. Take my sweet wife and my story. We were divorced, remarried, and on our way to what I think will be the sweetest years of our lives. You know, it's no longer simply about surviving. For the first time ever, you know, we're thriving, we're enjoying where we're at.
Hey, listen, if you're struggling, we want to see you at the workshop. Give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. We're talking with Amir. And Alice, you had something you wanted to just help Amir with. It's hard for him to get out there. What's going on?
Amir, one of the things that can work best in such a tough and sad situation like this as your wife is drifting apart from you is to appeal to her in intimacy. And by that I mean letting her know that you love her, you miss her, and you want a better connection with her for the sake of your marriage, but also for the sake of your two children. And Amir, if you are able to bring to her some of the things that you have struggled with in your character and maybe in your walk with God, as you were alluding to, if you can bring that to her to let her know, I know it does not help our marriage and our family when I fall into these unhealthy behavior patterns, and I want to get us help so that I can change myself, so we can have a better marriage, so that you'll be better able to connect with me. Even if you see her as the major part of the problem, if you're willing to go to her in humility with that kind of an invitation, it has such a good likelihood of opening her up to that possibility.
Hmm. All right. Well, look, we're going to send you a copy of Take Your Life Back. I think that could help. And I'm going to send with that How We Love. And it's such a great insight into all the relationships that you have. And I think it'll help you understand her better, maybe help you understand her so much that you could become literally be seen in her eyes as a different guy. I don't know if that's possible, but maybe I'm going to send that to you. Well, Marie, you're on, and you're calling from Dover, Delaware. Glad you are. How could we help you today? What's going on?
Hi, I'm going to try to hit some bullet points, but you guys have blessed and helped me so much just listening to your advice on several other issues.
Thank you.
First, I've been married to my husband for 38 years. Loving husband, loving relationship. When we got married, we both were very, very devout followers of Christ. We were both believers. We still are. However, he identifies himself more so with the title or position that he has on his job. He can't describe himself without describing the title or the responsibility of what he does.
Okay.
With that being said, he was successful in a very upper management position, took care of our family, allowed me to stay home and raise our children. In 2011, he had the misfortune of that whole division being replaced, and he was out of work. He didn't know what to do with himself, so for 2 years, he sat around, watched television, would not go to church, didn't talk to me about anything. When I talked to him, he said that I was I didn't understand, I was attacking his manhood. So after the 2 years, having to financially keep up with things, I had to go to work. I went to work and was doing okay.
I hate to interrupt you. We're going to have to get to a question pretty quick because we're right at the end of the program here. I'm so sorry.
Okay. My question is, this relationship has changed, so there's no intimacy in this relationship. It's more like he does his thing, I do mine. I go and attend service and mostly cry and just lay it out to God. What am I? How do I get my husband back? And I just I'm at this point that, you know, intimacy is not intimacy. We aren't.
Okay, so ask us a question. Ask us a question. Let us see if we can help.
The question is, what can we do? What can I do not to offend my husband, but try to draw him into understanding the lack of intimacy and caring and laughter that we used to share for.
And he is still a believer, you say, right?
I know he's still a believer. Okay.
Well, Sherry, what do you
think
would
be helpful? Well, is he still working or he's not working?
He finally got a job doing something that he said he would never do. He used to make fun of people, minimum wage people who wouldn't go to school and be, you know.
So let me just jump in. Guess what? He had a major identity crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And you know why? Because his identity was wrapped around what he did.
Yeah.
And so when someone's in an identity crisis and their job defines who they are, and then that goes away, and then they play video games for 2 years, that's symptomatic of a bigger problem.
Yeah.
And so it's hard for him to see your pain when he's so looking at his pain.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard for him to have empathy over your hurt when he's navel-gazing over his own. So this isn't going to change because you're, and I don't mean this in a mean way, but it's not going to change because you're going to a church service and crying out to God. Mm-hmm. It's going to change because you all take your problem into some good, wise counsel that can help turn you guys, instead of each one of you focused in on your own pain, towards each other. And learning how to do that with each other. The comfort circle, right? Mylan Kay's work. Yeah. There's so much that you guys could bond through this. But you're not going to bond if you're both looking at yourselves.
That's right. Well, you know, Sherry, I talked to all of us about, well, we don't want to just, you know, recommend a workshop when people call. We want to give them some help. But, I mean, this is such an example. If they would come to the marriage intensive, we could so help them
work through.
All of this.
Couples that come learn how to do this over the weekend. It's kind of crazy that you can learn how to connect with each other in 3 days, but that happens.
So I'm going to send her How We Love. I think that is going to open her eyes to a different kind of world. I'd recommend it for anybody. I really hope that you could get to the marriage intensive with him. Could be everything. And I'm so sorry that this has happened. And I'm going to recommend something else. We were talking about this sermon that I delivered at Saddleback for Rick Warren. And it talks about love, and it talks about performance and how our lives can be so performance-based we do not experience love and we don't know how to love. I think it'll give you some great insight. I wish he would watch it. I think it would give him some insight, too. You know, I love doing radio with you guys. We end up with some of the most fascinating calls. And, you know, I've never seen a call where there was no hope. God, you know, you cannot, it says, nothing can ever separate us from God's love. And I absolutely believe that. There is nothing that is hopeless in this world because God, you just can't, you don't have the power in you to get him to stop loving you. And if you're not experiencing that, then there's something that you need to do. There's a reason, and that reason can be helped, but you're going to have to let us help you. You have to call us, and you have to ask for the help, because we don't know what you're going through until you tell us. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Some people that call us, they get a counselor. Some people go to an intensive. Some people, they just get a book. And they are astounded that they could get this one book and it could know so much about the life that they have been living for so long. I don't know what it is, but if you do not experience the love of God or from anybody, we can help you. You know, the Bible doesn't say that God is loving. He is. It said he is love. God is love. Now, can you imagine? You believe in a God that is love, and you don't feel that love? That has a reason behind it, and we can help you with that if you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. new life. It's just that simple. And I know it's hard. Phone can weigh a lot. Also, if God's blessed you in some way and you'd like to invest that into the lives of somebody else, transforming their lives, call us. Support us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Alice. You guys are great. See you next time right here on New Life Live.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.